But as I got up at 4:30 this morning, some of the things I was thinking about. You know, we all know the story, don't we? About everybody's got at least one nativity scene in your house, right? I know, I think we got a couple. So you know about the shepherds. We talked about the shepherds last week. You know about the angels. And you know the wise men really weren't there that night. But yet, how many of your nativity scenes have them? Because it's a condensed story. That's it. But there are some important things that took place after that. 8 days to be exact. As Joseph and Mary took the child, the Christ child, to present him in the temple and to be circumcised. They came, and as they came through, this old man came up to him and he said, "Lord, I'm going to actually just read that to you. He said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Can you imagine having a child that every time you turned around, there was something amazing happening? And I'm not just talking about, they went potty by themselves. Angels appear in the night and scare the holy bejeebers out of poor shepherds. She gets pregnant without ever having relations. She goes to her cousin, Elizabeth. And she comes into the house and says, "Hello, Elizabeth." And the baby inside her jumps and is instantly filled with the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you." And she turns around and blesses her because of the child that is in her. This child would draw attention everywhere they went. The age of 12, we know that he was probably not rightfully so, kind of lingering behind. A lot of people teach, well, he was supposed to be doing it. No, he wasn't. He wasn't of the age he could do that yet. He was still a human. People overlook that. Oh, no, but he wasn't human. Well, if he's not human, then this is garbage. And I do not believe that. Jesus Christ was born a man. He is God who took form of a man and settled a debt that he didn't owe. After Simon speaks, Simon had been told he couldn't die. He was not going to die until he saw the redemption of Israel. Imagine being told that, and you're an old man now, and you're like, okay, it's getting a little harder to go up and down these steps. But there was somebody else, a woman named Anna. She was about 84 years old. 7 years after she had gotten married, her husband died. And she remained a widow. But she remained a widow in the service of God. She was in the temple day and night, fasting and praying. And she blessed him. Later, he would perform a miracle by turning water to wine. At a wedding, of all places. Not for sacrament purposes. For a party. For having a good time. He'd get the attention, praying for people, healing their sick, the blind, sitting down to have dinner with sinners. And they paid the bill gladly. He would get caught walking on the water twice. He would be seen glorified on the side of a mountain. He would raise his close friend from the dead. He would enter into Jerusalem as the people shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And as they threw their cloaks on the ground, they threw the palm leaves on the ground, they shouted praises to God for the redemption of Israel. And as he went in, they quickly forgot that. And these were not just, if you read the account, they weren't just people. These were some of his disciples. He would tell his disciples to quickly go get a room, get everything around. We're going to have dinner. And at night, he stands up in front of them. He takes that bread and he tells them, he says, "I have longed to partake of this with you." A part that is often missed is he dipped the bread in the wine first and gave it to Judas, who had allowed his heart to become unchecked. Judas cast out demons. He prayed for the sick. He fed people. And it's likely he was the one who said, "Shouldn't we have taken this oil and sold it instead of her pouring it over your feet?" And Judas went and did what he did. Jesus took the time to teach his disciples about love. He said, "I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd." No man gets to the Father but by me. And he says, "Tonight, I no longer call you my servants, but I call you my friends. For servants do not know what their master is going to do, but my friends do." He said, "You are my friends if you do as I have commanded. No greater love has any man but that he would lay down his life for his friends." In the last 20 years, we've used it a lot because of war. And it's absolutely true. Most of America has no idea what it takes. That you may be standing on that line and you're saying, "I'm not going to let you hurt my people." Jesus stood on that line and he said, "I'm not going to let you have my people." He said, "Let's go pray." They all gather together. Jesus stops before they leave and he said, "You know, before I told you, don't take money or preparations and don't take a sword. But now I tell you, take a sword." Peter jumps out and says, "We got two." They weren't supposed to have any. "We've got two." And if you know your disciples, you know who probably had one of them. He was known as a zealot. Possibly a murderer, because that's what zealots did. They killed Roman soldiers. And Jesus said, "Enough of that nonsense. Put it away and let's go." in the garden. We don't know how late it was, just like tonight. In Jewish customs and traditions, the next day begins at sunset, i.e., about 6 o'clock tonight is when possibly Jesus could have been born, until sunrise, because we do know it was at night. Because you see, tomorrow evening is the next day. And so, Jesus is up on this mountain praying. His disciples, he said, you know what, guys? Stay here and pray. I don't know about you, but it's rough. You made all these preparations. You need a nap. You need a power nap. Jesus said, sit down and pray. How many of you have woke up from your time of prayer? I remember one time we were holding prayer real early in the morning. And I came in here and I just laid out right there on my face and I prayed and I woke up a couple hours later. But nonetheless, I prayed. And these disciples were sitting around. They've already eaten, so they're fat and happy. They're now sitting on rocks and tucked in with tree trunks and stuff, trying to maybe get the chill of the night air off of them. Jesus goes forward and he prays, Father, if there's any way that it's possible for this cup to pass from me. And we don't know whether the Holy Spirit spoke through him through the Father directly. We don't know that. But he says, but nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but yours. It's not what I want, Daddy. It's what you want. Because you see, Jesus came to glorify the Father. The Holy Spirit came to glorify the Father, to lead us back to the Father. The world has been trying for centuries to destroy the position of a father. We kill countless thousands and thousands of them in war in the name of liberty. Sometimes that's needed. Sometimes you just need to take the two leaders out, give them each brass knuckles and tell them to have at it. Don't give them boxing gloves. They won't learn anything. He came back and his disciples are passed out. They are sawing logs hard, and Jesus said, wake up! Couldn't you hang with me for an hour? That's all I asked for you. Just to hang with me for an hour. He leaves, goes back, and he prays again. His body is under so much stress that his sweat, he's just bleeding through his sweat glands. I've been under stress, but not that much. I can't imagine. His blood pressure, do you have any idea how high it had to have been? I mean, that would have had to have been, I mean, I've been like 190 something when I had a kidney stone. They said, no, you need to sit down. You're going to have a stroke. Jesus' blood pressure had to have been in such the stratosphere that his blood was now being pushed through the skin. I mean, that's crazy. But he had an idea of what was coming. Because you see, there's a world that Jesus could see that we can't. There's a world he came from that we don't see. So many people want to see. I want to see angels. I have every account I've ever read of somebody seeing an angel, they're being told, don't fear. I wonder why that is. You can read Ezekiel and see about some of those angels. Read about the description of the temple. The angels have four faces. It'll blow your mind. He goes and he prays some more. He comes back and he finds him asleep again. He was forsaken by his friends. He gets them, says, wake up. They're close. He probably heard them coming up the mountain. He comes out and he's got Peter there with him. He's got all the disciples. He's got Simon the Zealot and James and John. And he's got all these guys there with him and the women that follow with him too. And they come across this group of soldiers. And Jesus said, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, you come out with swords to get me? And at that point, I might have that slightly off. Judas kissed him. The thing is, ladies and gentlemen, we always pictured him coming up and kissing him on the cheek. In the American culture, men don't kiss. Straight men. Likely he'd have kissed him on the lips. It's an intimate. A kiss on the lips is an intimate relationship. And he said, Judas, you betray me with a kiss? You betray the intimacy I have let you into? He goes, here I am. But Peter, you know, we know how Peter, we have to give kudos to Peter. He was willing to fight. But let's remember, there's a time that you got to listen to the Holy Spirit. As Solomon said, there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. And Peter still did not fully understand. None of them understood what was about to happen. Peter jumps out with the sword he had. He's a fisherman. Remember this. He's not a soldier. And as he comes down to split this guy's head, he misses and takes off his ear. Jesus says, put that stupid thing away, and grabs it, picks his ear up and puts it back on him and heals him. Let's go, guys. And then he's grilled unlawfully for hours. He's abused. He's hit. That was against the law. See, the religious people don't care about the law unless they're manipulating it to hurt you. That's why Jesus had to come and fulfill it. He had to do away and fill it completely. Well, he didn't come to do it away. When you fulfill the requirements of it, it's null and void now. Are there things in there we can live by? Absolutely. We can use them as guides in our lives. Thou shalt not murder. That's a good one. You don't need to go around telling lies on your brothers and your sisters. You don't need to be chasing your neighbor's wife. You need to start taking a Sabbath, resting your body. We do not do that in this world anymore. The Amish are about the closest ones to do that. Amish and some Mennonite. Even the Jews found a way around it. Y'all remember Value City, right? The store, department store, not the, well, even the furniture. The family that owns them are Schottensteins. The way around it is, if the store has your name on it, you're closed on the Sabbath. If the store has another name, you can own it, but you can be open 7 days a week. So they got around it through legalism. Not the spirit of the law, but we got to play the game. Anything is easy when you know how to play the game. I don't want to play a game with God. We play enough stupid games. And as Jesus Christ was abused, he was turned over because somebody said, he's got a kingdom. So we need to get Rome on our side.
Rome said, I got nothing against him. He ain't said nothing against us. Where's your kingdom at? He said, my kingdom ain't of this world. As soon as he said that, you know what they said? Okay, he's a Fruit Loop. My kingdom's not of this world. It's not that we should hate this place. Let's get that understood. God put us here. I look forward to the next part. I'm not afraid of it. But there's also things I've learned to enjoy here. You know, like family. Don't care if I have eat meat again. Doesn't matter. None of that stuff. And so he's hit, he's beaten. And when he's turned over to the Romans, they didn't like the Jews, period. And they pulled hair out of his beard. They hit him in the back of the head. Prophesy who hit you. They punched him, kicked him. And then when it was all said and done, and he was selected to be put to death over a man who was a murderer. And since he was just freshly caught, was more than likely the wound was still open for whoever was in that crowd. Do you seriously think that they were the ones crying Barabbas? No, they wanted Jesus. But the religious people shouted out loud, we want Barabbas, we want him. A violator of law, not the man who fulfills it. But we know that he had to do that. And that night, as they're working him, well, he's got to be beaten first. Why? I've thought about this. Why do we torture people? What is wrong with mankind that we get our jollies hurting people? He was about to be executed. What's the point? 39 times with a cat of nine tails. It's not the bullwhip that we see in Indiana Jones. This thing has nine lashes on it, about 3 to 4 feet long. It has pottery. It has shards of metal. And as that man, I have to believe, if you've ever watched The Passion, I have to believe he became possessed in order to do that. They say 40 of those lashes, you will die. They were punishing him. But when we realize that that's what religion does, is it tears at us. It makes us pay. It makes us hurt. There's going to be consequences of things we do, isn't there? You speed, you get a ticket. But Jesus said, I don't want any of this stuff to have to hurt you. So I will take it. And he was beaten beyond identity as a human being. And as he's taken away, remember, his blood was all over that area, the whipping post, but they didn't find it valuable enough. And they kept shouting and shouting as they took him down the road, making him carry his own cross, about the size of a railroad tie. It had to be sturdy because they reused them often. And as he fell, they'd yell at him to get back up. The man has no blood. He is now, it's just water coming out of his body. He's got no strength. He hasn't had food. And as he is trying to get back up, a man is grabbed from the crowd and he's told, you help him. And so somebody else came and helped him. I'm not going to lie, I've thought about the greeting when that man entered heaven. You know, we always say Jesus was there. Some people say my loved ones were there. I got a feeling Jesus was there and reminded him. You helped me. See, there's a problem with mankind when we say we don't need help. You are not God. And God said, I need help. And he accepted it to carry that cross to fulfill his mission. Because we as human beings, as flesh, we are weak. We need somebody else. The sayings are abound. No man is an island. We're not lone rangers. Even Tonto had the leg up on the Lone Ranger on that. We're out here with all these Indians. I'm an Indian. I can disappear quickly. You can't. And as they put him on that cross and they drove those nails through his feet, through his hands, and they hoisted him up in the air and they set that thing down in that block. Because that is how they did them. These were set in stone. There are holes. They have found them in Jerusalem. There are square holes where they set those things down in. And they crucified him on a hill called the Skull. And he hung there. And two thieves were brought in. And they were crucified with him. Their screams of agony. Both of them knew who he was, and the one said, if you're the Christ, call for help. Get us out of here. But the other one, he said, you and I, we deserve what we get. This man is innocent. I believe he was probably somebody who was on the verge of repenting, becoming a follower of Christ, but he got caught. And Jesus looks at him and said, I'm telling you today, you will be with me in paradise. And as they hung there, they came around. Jesus cried out, and he gave up the ghost. And when he gave up the ghost, the sky went black, the earth shook. And the centurion said, surely this was the Son of God. And as they came around, because you got to get those bodies off of there before the Sabbath kicks in, they came around with a large, we'll call it a bat. Because see, they could push up and they could breathe. And so they'd come along with that bat and they'd break their legs. The stress alone of that would probably about kill you. I can vouch for breaking your legs. It's a lot of pain. But they got to Jesus. And as they're kind of slapping him, we're not going to break his legs. But somebody else, again, I believe full of the devil, said, well, we're not going to take any chances. And he's thrust a spear into his side and blood and water flowed out of it. Because God asked his son to come in the form of a baby so that we could have peace from what legalism does. Legalism is not just in Judeo-Christian religions, ladies and gentlemen. It's in all religion. Religion is of the devil, period. Again, we don't know what was struck before, why sin had to have blood. All I know is God thought it was precious. You don't eat it. You don't drink it. The most vile creatures we have in our mythology drink blood. They're an abomination. There are people who eat blood pudding. That's blood. It's not the proteins coming out of the meat. It's the blood. Diseases are also transferred through blood. Life is transferred through blood. So much happens with the blood. I always joke because with her Angela, I said, well, I gave it my all. I bled. I either cut myself or got a splinter or smashed something when I was working on a project. I gave it all, my blood, sweat, and my tears. We celebrate this birth that ends in a resurrection because we're free. My challenge to you is in 2024, live like it. Live like you're free. Be an example to the world of who Christ is. Be an example to your family. I don't care what they think of you. You're here now. You know what they think of you? If they're not sitting in a church somewhere else, I can tell you about what they think of you. Because I've heard it. God came as a baby, died as a man, and resurrected as a king. And all he asks is for us to love each other. Put aside our petty differences within the body of Christ. The Church of Christ isn't our enemy. The Methodist Church is not my enemy. The Baptist Church is not my enemy. The Catholic Church is not my enemy. The freedom that you have is supposed to be lived every day. But I'm going to tell you right now, you have to settle it in your heart. That's where you receive the forgiveness. You have to get past all the guilt that you feel about what you did. I don't care if it was drugs. I don't care if it was alcohol. I don't care if you were a prostitute. I don't care. The reality is, you're forgiven. What Jesus did that day on that cross started in this manger, in a barn, in one of the smallest villages in Israel. He did that. He paid that price. So that you and I don't have to remember, yeah, I remember where I was. I tell them myself. I tell you stories. Not to tell you, not to try to brag on things of that nature, but to tell you, I was raised in the church, and I still did stupid stuff. But I will also tell you, I now have more compassion for people than I could ever imagine. Because I had grown cold. I had grown self-righteous. Why can't they be victorious like me? I had the theology, I never really sinned. I mean, how could I? I was about eight, nine when I got saved. And then after that, you know, just lived in the church and just did churchy things all the time. Went to youth group. But I was still a sinner. And now I know Jesus Christ forgave me. So in 2024, we're going to live a victorious life. We're going to live the life of power because we're going to put aside the garbage the devil is putting on you. There's people in here I know who are dealing with things. I don't perceive it. I know for a fact. And I'm here to tell you, you have got to stand up and say no more. I can talk to you for 10 hours straight, and you, if you do not stop and put it in your heart and say, that's that. That's that. I'm done. I'm done feeling guilty. Our Bible says there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Condemnation chains us. It's a chain to what we did. And God forbid if we really were judged by what we thought. There's not a one of us in here who could stand. At some point, we've all had bad thoughts about people. So remember, some of you are going to have your, we've already had our family. But you're going to have time with your family. Put the petty garbage aside. Bite your tongue if you have to. Receive the forgiveness that God is giving you. But you've got to do that. I had to do it. Monica had to do it. Angela has had to do it. Tim and Sarah had to do it. They had to receive what God did for them. And say, I'm not, I'm going to go forward. And I'm going to live a victorious life. I expect next year, should the Lord tarry, that as I'm standing up here again next year, that you can say, I'm not the same person. My walk with God has grown. You might be able to say, he calls me by my name. He's called me by my name. I heard it. I have to wonder, would I have quit running as quick if he hadn't? Some people think they got to spend 20, 30 years in rebellion. You do not. I was only in rebellion about 2 years, and it wasn't against man. It wasn't against my parents. I was a stinking adult. It was against God. I ran for about 2 years. And God woke me up. And I've spent every day trying to get to know him better. All right, let's stand. I pray that your Christmas will be merry and bright. I really do. I can rejoice now that I'm at the age where my only child at home likes to sleep in as much as I do. No more 5 a.m.s, right? Or are you going to get me up at 5 tomorrow? 5 p.m. See? but anyhow, be blessed with your families over the next several days. I know not everybody's tomorrow, tonight, or maybe even later this week. Enjoy your time with families that have come in. Remember, love is what the whole thing is about. It's not about a gift. It's about what Jesus did. We couldn't earn. And if somebody gives you a gift that's more than you gave them, receive it. I gave Jesus my life full of sin. He gave me his free of sin. The deal wasn't exactly fair. Here, let me give you a garbage bag, Jesus. And I'll take yours. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for what Jesus Christ has done. Lord, I know the people in here, they have accepted you at one time in their life. So, Lord, I pray for them now. I know some may still be struggling with things. They may be struggling with what they've done. The devil is trying to bring guilt back to them to destroy them. Lord God, I bind that in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, Father, that your word says that there is no condemnation in you. So, Lord, help them to battle that. Give them the strength, Lord God. Draw them closer into your word. Father, with that half a step, Lord, we know you meet us. You don't wait for us to take our time getting there. All we got to do is move. So, Lord, I thank you right now that you're moving in their lives. You're bringing them peace that we talked about last week. It doesn't exist in the world without you. Father, I thank you that as they go about this week, Father, their times with their families will be blessed. Father, love will abound. And if there be any hard feelings, Lord God, they will be crucified. Father, I thank you that you're moving in your people. You're stirring up that love, and you're bringing about a change in all of our lives. Start right here, Father. I don't want to be in the same spot. Now, Father, I thank you for your people, and I bless them, Lord God. I bless their households with peace, their businesses with prosperity, their minds with tranquility. Father, give them understanding of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.